This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI New Rio.
And time for the Rob DePiro East End Report. It's sponsored by the family-owned seafood operation by far and away, ladies and gentlemen, the standard of excellence for over 45 years. Talking about Court J Seafood. That's right. It's located right north of the Hampton Bays Ponquoy Avenue Bridge. And you really have got to stop and see it all, being prepared to fully appreciate it. You got fresh seafood arriving daily from the local bays, fluke cod, porgies, halibut, shrimp, lobster. They have it all. Court J Seafood, Hampton Bays. Rob DePiro, East End Report. How are you, sir?
Jay, doing okay as always. Caught the Stony Brook Seawolves Saturday night up at the pretty impressive looking gym up there on campus. They're 20-5. They're kind of a back to where they were, two or three years ago, except they have one team ahead of them in their division. Their nemesis, who would always break their hearts, Vermont.
Vermont, Caramounts. I always love Stony Brook, the conference championship games and everything. I mean, they've been in. How many times have they almost? They've been like Cinderella, you know? It's like, you know, you almost get to the dance, so to speak. The big dance, of course, the NCAA tournament, if you win the American East. But in essence, yeah, you're right. Vermont, of course, last year, the darling of the tournament. Who can forget? UMBC. University of Maryland, Baltimore County there, Robert, who took out Virginia. First time ever, 16, took out a 1. UMBC, part of that great conference of the American East. So, always a lot of fun. And Stony Brook, very quietly, having a pretty good season.
And don't forget, Jay, it was 3 years ago where they did make the big dance. They did make the NCAAs. They finally were not Cinderella. And who did the NCAA give them as a welcome mat to enter the tournament? None other than the defending Kentucky champion Kentucky Wildcats. So anyway, at least they made it, and they have a young team. So if they don't beat Vermont out this year, then they're on track to make it next year. So that's that.
Always a lot of fun, no question. This is a great time of the year. You have baseball. You have the NCAAs. Not far away at all. Not far. Yeah, well, the conference play right now. Conference tournament's coming up, so it's a wonderful time. And hopefully, locally, you know, you have not only Stony Brook, but, you know, maybe some good things finally out of St. John's. You know, they've got a team now, and hopefully, you know, they've got some pretty good wins. They took a beating from Duke a couple of weeks ago, but they're having an impressive season. They need to keep going and get right through the Big East tournament. We'll see how they fare. But good to have St. John's back in the mix as well. All right, tough week. We spoke about it with Joe to lead it off on the crime report with Brian Simonson taking a bullet in the chest, friendly fire. Tough week, it really was. A guy from the Calverton area be laid to rest out in the East End. That's a tough situation, we know.
And wait till you see the turnout, which I believe is going to be Monday and Tuesday. I think it's going to be at the wake at St. Rosalie's Roman Catholic Church in Hampton Bays. I mean, there'll be a citywide amount of friends, coworkers, family, paying respects to a guy. They all know him as Smiles, not only in the city, but out here. And you've probably read all of the stories about his character. And what's amazing to me is, you know, you read the stories about the extra effort that he would put through, stopping in to make sure everybody's okay in the city, stopping by the stores, everyone knowing him. But then you just talk to people out here, and it's amazing how they all each have their own stories of what an exemplary guy he was. I'm sure if I kept walking around and asking people, you know, did you know him? You know, how often did you see him? They would have even more stories. So his legacy spans New York City all the way out to here. So imagine, you know, the mark he's going to leave as far as, you know, like I said, his exemplary status. It's just a tough one. It's been a tough one, really, out here the entire year. You started with the helicopter crash from the Air National Guardsman. You had the Boy Scout that was ran over, you know. And Detective Simon said he was unassuming. Like, I've come across him, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 times, you know, through my line of work, and not as him as a detective, just seeing him along the way, you know, on the street, and I never knew he was a detective. It's just something that never came up.
Man, rave reviews on him throughout. Riverhead High School graduate, folks, by the way, 1995, lived in South Jamesport until a couple of years ago. Let's hear from, Rob got a clip of a guy, really knew him on the department as well. Let's hear from a retired police officer out there. Matty?
I describe him as a family man who cared about his people around him, his neighbors, his job. He was really a great detective. We met a few times at funerals, a few other places, and he was always a very down-to-earth individual who cared about a lot of things going on in the world and tried to correct what he could, and that's about it.
And that was it. You know, as Joe said, a very rare thing that took place. Friendly fire. Hadn't had an incident in a long time. But Brian Simonson... taking a bullet, and, you know, the tough part of it is this career thug with a fake gun. As I said to Joe, I just, you know, we have technology in so many instances regarding crime. I just hope the day we see it where you can point something at an assailant carrying a weapon and just see if it's real or not. We've seen too many of these incidents.
But
very tough situation. Rob DePiro, Crime Radio. Let's move on. You know, I was reading what you said regarding this Montauk school superintendent, Jack Perner, the rave panic button, which, by the way, we spoke about minutes ago regarding armed guards and LBs in some of the schools in Suffolk. Recently, of course, West Babylon will have that in the fall. But the superintendent now says this app is useless because of incompatibility and lack of connections to the East End PDs, police departments. Yapeng, where the app actually originates from. Very interesting. And, you know, we've spoken about the flaws that could exist in this rave app. You know, this button you hit, and all of a sudden, you know, you get the cavalry there, although I have doubts about it. But interesting how a superintendent has come out on this.
Yeah, the Montauk superintendent noticed that he did. I think he did a trial run on it. And what happens is the call shoots over to Yapeng, which is nowhere near Montauk. You could even say, pick any other East End school. It's not doing you any good when you're losing time when an app designed to send police directly to where the incident may occur is not even going to the correct police department. And with that, by the way, would collapse all the other East End school districts, because if you're not part of the Suffolk County, you know, Suffolk County Police Department goes up until the Southampton Town Brookhaven line in Eastport, and I believe half of Wading River. So you, to me, you have now that whole area east of that is a somewhat haywire. I know they're going to have to, I believe one of the county officials said that there's some tweaks now that have to be ironed out, but I remember hearing your exchange with legislator Rob Trotta, and that's the first thing that Trotta brought up, that this thing is not designed to work the way that they're saying it's going to work. And here we have the example, as discovered by a Montauk school superintendent, not even anyone else in the county. It was a Montauk school superintendent that figured out that this is a problem.
I mean, have we not learned anything about rolling out something without really perfecting it? I mean, come on now. It's, you know, everybody wants to get their picture and the name and the paper and everything else. Hey, well, we got the rave app here. You know what? We told everyone that there have been flaws. Designers have even said that there were flaws in this system. Okay? And we're rolling it out, a couple of $1 million in all, and guess what? Now you have a high-end school official stating, we can't reach police departments on the East End because of communication problems. Really? We've been talking about this. It's ridiculous. It really is.
Yep.
Tough one. All right, we'll move on now, sir. What else do we have here? Are we looking at Southampton Village revisiting the idea of creating a sewer district in the village?
Yeah, that has come up in the past week, and according to the Southampton Press. A few years ago, that was pitched to them, but the cost was so prohibitive at the time, the village board rejected it. Now, since then, if you're well aware, West Hampton Beach has been aided by quite a bit of money from the Southampton Town Community. The community grant development funds have been made available to help them out. And Southampton Village has taken a look at that and said, you know, I think we can make this work now. Anything that would blunt the cost of what the original charge was supposed to be can only be beneficial to Southampton Village. I think what they have to figure out is the original stipulation was only the downtown business district would be paying for it. I think now with the added money that gets dropped in from the CPF fund spread around, and then it becomes like a small increase for a village tax.
Interesting. So that's what's going on there. Southampton, I tell you, they've been in the news. Not only that, how about the straw thing as well, Rob? The banning of the straws coming into fruition here, huh?
Yeah, the minute East Hampton town adopted that a few months back, you knew that it would make sense that the next connecting line would be Southampton Town, and then they come aboard recently with that. And if I'm not mistaken, hasn't the county now proposed that? So it's almost a matter of time now where it won't even be a municipal story anymore. You're going to find that before each township declares a ban on it, I think Suffolk County will just ban everything straight up. There'll be no more plastic straws. Some people are having problems with the newer ones because if they get wet, they just kind of just start becoming all mushy. That's another case where they should have tested everything out thoroughly before they jumped into the hoopla over, banning a plastic straw.
I like the plastic straw myself, when I have like a milkshake.
Yes, yes.
because the paper straw is not going to cut it, I don't think. Thick liquid coming up that straw, it's going to get all soggy and break away, and then you got a mess. Then what do you do?
Yeah, something other than a paper straw is going to have to be developed. I think that's obvious at this point. You could cite the reasons why the plastic had to be banned, wildlife, marine life, but you're replacing it with something that more and more people are bringing it up for exactly the reason you just said. The longer it sits, the thicker the substance, the more it dissolves.
Absolutely. Let's get to the census numbers. Kind of a surprise here, indicating American Indian and Alaskan Native is one of the fastest growing population segments in the U.S. 6.8 million ancestry. However, the agency also says Shinnecock tribe numbers are declining, although you have a lot of members, especially here on the island, of course, disputing the findings. That's interesting, huh?
Yeah, that number has kind of fluctuated a little bit from when the 2000 census was first taken. Then it took a notable dip, I think, in 2010. Now 2015, it has gone back up. There's a little bit of dispute as to the numbers due to lineage, and really, the Shinnecock isn't just in Southampton. They're all throughout the country. So one member of the tribe did state that, when you have lineage involved in this, what specifics are you actually going by? So that's a case now where you have the U.S. Census coming up with one set of numbers, and then you have the tribe saying these numbers are not facts. there does seem to be less and less members of the overall population of the Shinnecock now at its reservation. I think that came up in the numbers than at any point in history.
Interesting there. So we'll see how that shakes out. One more for you, Robert, and that is Deepwater Wind in the news. That's formerly Deepwater Wind. Now I think it's what is it called, Orsted. Getting the okay from the town board of East Hampton to do some meetings and whatnot and tests, cable line and wainscot, and constructed along 15 turbines, 35 miles off of Montauk here. So we've heard about Deepwater Wind prior, huh?
Yeah, we have. What I didn't realize is that it was no longer called Deepwater Wind. A Danish company purchased them back, I think, in the middle of November. Now, they just got permission, the company, whatever name it is, you know, the new name, according to the East Hampton Star and Sag Harbor Express, a very combative East Hampton Town Board vote. It's allowing the new company to conduct an archaeological dig as they make their way out into the ocean from the land to what will be the, I think it's going to be 15 turbines, 15 wind turbines. I think it's going to be 35 miles off the coast of Montauk. So, you know, that issue has been really hotly contested. And it usually seems to be along like a 3-2 line. I'm assuming that's a party line situation. It does seem at this point now that you will end up seeing those offshore wind turbines. Every time there's a new story that comes out, it seems they're being given a little bit more leeway to proceed with the plan to develop this offshore energy.
No question. Interesting stuff. Before I let you go, you're a football guy. Real quickly, Kaepernick in the news. You know, yeah, I don't know if you've watched this AAF. I don't plan on watching 5 minutes of this spring football garbage that's out there now. You know, saying that he turned down an offer because he wanted at least $20 million to consider joining any team, you know, is a bunch of crapperoo, okay? Let's put it that way. You know, this whole thing with Kaepernick has bothered me forever. And, you know, you could say, yeah, it's collusion. The owners don't want him. The kneel down and everything else, the distraction. But the guy's no good. He's got no skill set anymore. I mean, do you really think a team, an owner, would turn down Colin Kaepernick if he had an ounce of skill left in him from yesteryear? You'd have to be out of your mind not to take him on your team and help out the cause.
Yeah, I've always believed that if he started the protest at, say, when they went to the Super Bowl, at the point where he kind of rose up to stardom rather quickly. Had he done that, then you would have, if he did get cut, he certainly would have been scooped up by another team. It's all about talent, Jay. His skills were declining. That's why he does not have a job. However, if he began the protest while he was a star, you know, even though he wasn't in the league as a star for, what, maybe 3 years, somebody would have definitely scooped him up.
Rob's East End Report, Corjay Seafood, right at the base of the Ponquit Avenue Bridge, Hampton Bays. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to experience Corjay. That's right, Hampton Bays, the expertise that has created it, its legend as the leader of the Long Island seafood industry. You got to check out Corjay Seafood, and you got to check out Rob DePiro every Friday. Thank you, sir. Well done.
Thank you, Jay, and yeah, definitely head up to Stony Brook and catch. They have about 3 home games left before their conference tourney, and I guess they'll have a home game or two. But impressive facility.
It really is. I tell you, it's you're right, 100%. Nothing like a Seawolf game.